Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a simple air horn hit and turning it into a proper 90s-inspired darkness edit for jungle and old-school drum and bass in Ableton Live 12. Now, this is not about making the horn into a melody or a big musical part. Think of it as punctuation. Think of it as a sharp, rude, ray-ready accent that can answer the drums, mark a transition, or punch through a drop with attitude. That's the whole vibe. Quick, gritty, memorable. First, find a clean air horn sample in your browser or sample library. For this style, try to avoid anything too polished or stadium bright unless you want that more cartoon rave feel. We want something a bit rawer, something that will take processing well. Once you've got the sample, open it in clip view and trim it tightly. You want the actual attack right at the start of the clip. If there's a lot of silence before the hit, crop that away. If the tail is too long, shorten it. In jungle and D&B, space is valuable. A horn that hangs around too long can crash into your snare, your bass line, or the next break fill. A good beginner rule here is simple. Make the attack immediate, keep the tail controlled, and aim for a short hit that feels more like a one-shot accent than a sustained instrument. Next, make sure warp is on. For a one-shot horn, you usually want it locked to the grid so it lands cleanly. Try beats mode first. That's often the easiest starting point for a punchy edit. Move the start marker so it triggers right on the transient, right on the actual horn hit. If the sample feels late, soft, or lazy, zoom in and tighten that start point. This is one of those tiny details that makes an edit feel intentional instead of sloppy. Now let's shape the tone. Drop EQ8 on the horn track. Start by high passing around 120 to 180 Hz to clear out low-end fluff. We do not want this horn fighting the kick or the sub. If it sounds boxy, try a gentle cut somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. And if the upper mids get a little painful, tame that area around 2.5 to 5 kHz by a few dB. The goal is not to make the horn bright and shiny. For this style, we want it mid-forward, slightly rough, and dark enough to sit in a gritty mix. Let the drums and bass own the foundation. The horn should cut through the middle without stealing the low-end spotlight. After EQ, add saturator. This is where the horn starts getting that dirty 90s attitude. Push the drive somewhere around plus 3 to plus 8 dB to start. Turn soft clip on, and then lower the output to compensate. Listen carefully. If it still feels too clean, add a little more drive. If it starts getting brittle or harsh, back it off and use EQ to clean up the top end. If you want even more weight and attitude, you can also try drum bus. Keep it subtle. A little drive, a tiny bit of crunch if needed, and maybe a touch of transience if you want the front edge to snap harder. Usually, I would leave boom off for this kind of sound unless you specifically want a bigger impact. Remember, we're making an edit weapon, not a subby explosion. Now let's darken it and give it motion with auto filter. Put auto filter after the saturation stage. A low pass or band pass filter works really well here. Start with the cutoff somewhere between 1.5 kHz and 6 kHz, depending on how dark you want it, and add a bit of resonance if you want the tone to poke through more. Keep the envelope amount subtle, if you use it at all. There are two easy ways to use this. One is to just darken the hit so it feels more underground and murky. The other is to automate the cutoff so the horn opens up on the hit and then closes again after. That tiny movement can make the edit feel much more alive, especially when it lands before a drop or turnaround. Now we tighten the tail. For D&B, this is important. Horns can get messy if they ring out too long. You can do this with volume automation or with a gate. If the sample already decays pretty quickly, volume automation may be all you need. Just draw a quick fade down after the hit so it stays punchy. If the horn has a longer tail, try gate after the saturation stage. Set the threshold so the main hit passes clearly, then use a short release, maybe around 50 to 150 milliseconds, so it doesn't chop unnaturally. The point is to keep the edit tight enough that it doesn't clutter the next drum phrase. Now we move from sound design into arrangement, because placement is half the magic. A really effective beginner setup is a simple phrase where the drums and bass lead, and the horn answers. For example, let bar 1 be drums and bass, then bar 2 bring in the horn as a response. You can repeat that idea with a variation in bar 3, and then use bar 4 for a horn hit plus a fill or transition into the next section. You can also place the horn on the downbeat, on beat 1, for a big warning siren style accent. That works especially well in old school jungle energy. Another strong move is putting it after a snare fill, so it feels like the next section is being called in. And if you've got a rolling bass line, try to place the horn where the bass has a little space. Don't force it on top of the busiest part of the pattern. A classic idea is this: filtered breaks, then first drop, then a last bar horn hit on beat one, then a drum fill, then the next section. That kind of call and response arrangement feels very authentic in jungle and old school DNB. If you want the horn to feel bigger without washing out the groove, add a tiny bit of echo or reverb. Keep it controlled. For echo, use low feedback, short delay times, and filtered repeats so it doesn't clutter the mix. For reverb, use a short decay, low wet amount, and a darker tone. You want space, not smear. One of the big beginner mistakes here is too much reverb. In fast break music, too much space can blur the timing and weaken the punch. Keep the attack up front. Let the environment support the hit, not drown it. A really useful workflow trick is to make a few versions of the same horn. Make one dry and punchy. Make one darker and more distressed. Make one with a bit of echo for transitions. Then duplicate and place them where they fit best in the arrangement. This gives you variation without needing a whole new sample. If you want extra control, put the horn inside an audio effect rack and map a few macros. For example, one macro for filter cutoff, one for saturator drive, one for reverb wet, and one for volume. That way you can quickly go from cleanish to dark direct without rebuilding the chain every time. That's a super practical way to work when you're building edits. Now always check the horn in context. Soloing is helpful, but the real test is the whole drum and bass loop. Listen for a few things. Does the horn overpower the snare? Does it mask the kick or sub? Does it sound too harsh at full volume? If it's jumping out too much, drop it by 2 to 6 dB. If the top end is spiky, tame it with a small EQ cut. If the bass disappears when the horn hits, the horn is probably too wide or too bright. Remember the key idea here: think accent, not lead. If the horn is the thing you remember after the drum stop, it's probably too dominant. We want it to hit hard, not take over the whole scene. Here are a few extra pro-style moves you can try. You can use a bandpass filter for a tighter, more rave-like horn tone. You can layer a second copy pitched slightly down, very quietly, to add menace and weight. You can resample the processed horn once you like it, then chop the printed audio instead of constantly tweaking the live chain. That keeps you moving and helps you commit to the vibe. Another really effective trick is to automate a tiny volume dip right before the horn lands. That little contrast makes the hit feel much bigger. It's a classic tension move and drop design. And if you want a more authentic jungle feel, use the horn as a response to a drum fill, not just as a random accent. That call and response energy is a huge part of the style. For your practice, try making three versions of the same horn. First, make a clean and punchy version with a high pass around 150 Hz, light saturation, and no reverb. Second, make a dark and murky version with a low pass filter around 3 to 5 kHz, moderate saturation, and a short reverb at very low wet level. Third, make a transition version with echo, a short filtered repeat, and a quick volume fade so the tail disappears fast. Place that one on the last bar before a drop. Then loop a basic DNB drum section with kick, snare on 2 and 4, a breakbeat loop, and a sub-bass pattern. Try each horn version in context and listen to how the emotion changes. That's the real lesson here. Same sample, different processing, different feeling. To finish up, here's the big recap. Start with a short, strong air horn sample and trim it tightly. Use EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and if needed, gate or echo and reverb. Keep the horn focused in the mids, not bloated in the low end. Place it as an edit accent, not constantly. Use it for call and response, drop energy and dark jungle attitude, and always check it against the full drums and sub. If you keep it tight, gritty, and well placed, even a simple air horn can become a proper 90s inspired DNB signature edit. That's the kind of detail that makes a track feel like it has attitude. Nice work.